Good morning, good evening, good night, good day, wherever you are. It's hopefully not cold because it's Arctic up here. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm really excited to be here for another gorgeous episode of Navigating Mindfulness. And we are talking about mindfulness while building our business, applying personal growth strategies to make sure we're living the most delicious, fantastic lives that, I mean, honestly, we deserve to have. I'm joined by my one and only magnificent goddess of a co-host, Lisa McHale, who is a multi-mompreneur, as I like to call her. I don't know. I just like to call her a lot of things. And we're here to give you the 411, the FYI, the skinny to the mini on how to apply personal growth principles to all parts of our lives. And today is a very interesting day. Why, you ask? Well, part of being able to be a successful entrepreneur is also making sure that you have the vitality to actually do the things you have to do. You know, whether it's having a clear mind, whether it's feeling physically like you have the energy to actually engage and do the things that you want to do or the things that you need to do in order to move your business forward. But also, I think most importantly, when you reach that pinnacle of success or as you're on the way to it, you have to be able to do the things that you want to do now that you have the money to do it, right? So like, there's so many stories of people that, you know, hustle and work and grind for like, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 years. And they're like, yeah, when I'm retired, I'm going to go on vacation. And then you retire and you can't go nowhere. Why? Because you're overweight, your body is not helpful. Like you might be deteriorating in some places. You're not able to climb Mount Yamanaska like you wanted to. That's been in your vision board because you've been putting this off. So making sure we take care of our physicality is so, so important. And then it also reflects on everyone. It reflects on the health of your business, and it also reflects on the balance that you have. So today we are talking a little bit about our physicalities.
Look at her roll. For those of you who are listening, she's doing a body roll on her chair.
Physicality. So I know like we're still in Corona season and COVID times. And so it's given us a very unique opportunity where some people have, of course, gained a little bit of weight. Some people have lost a little bit of weight. Some people have recommitted certain things to themselves. But I feel like for myself, I was like, this is an ideal opportunity because I am a social butterfly. I have a lot of FOMO sometimes. And so if somebody invites me out to something and there's chocolate cake, even if I'm on like the most amazing meal plan ever, bitch, that cake is gonna go in my mouth. So this has been an amazing time for me to like just really take the time to choose into releasing some weight. And it's been so good so far. And I'm really excited for the next steps afterwards. Now, if you don't know, the one and only goddess, Lisa McHale, has this other brand called Releasing 100 because she's all about dropping those LBs, releasing those poundages. And I am so, so proud of her. And I'm going to let her share the results that she's had so far. So girl, you better go ahead and toot your horn.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know, part of being the mindful person is like being cool with celebrating and like really taking that opportunity to celebrate that. So thank you. So Releasing 100 was formed when I hit like, I guess my top end weight. I was probably like 250 pounds. And that was maybe the summer or so of like 2018, 2019, we're in a new year. So I'm not really clear on that. So anyhow, I'd like to say that since then, I've probably dropped a total of 70 pounds so far. Thank you. She's clapping. And it has been an up and down journey because like you, I never associated it with FOMO or I do see that I am a social butterfly now that we're not going out. I see that, you know, delicious, indulgent meals, way over portioned because that's what happens when you go out to eat and you're eating the whole thing. It has been a life-changing experience to go through it. And also just recognizing like when I really want to have something or if it's, you know, hormonal or whatever, it's been glorious. So I received the celebratory vibes for 70 pounds. I still have a fair bit to go. However, I feel so much better that I'm here because I do feel that I have the vitality to do the things that I wanted to do. And not that I used to think that it would stop me. Like, I remember I've climbed a glacier at a heavier weight. And I think they were surprised that I did it. Like, when the guys were like, oh, we don't know if she's going to be. I mean, it took me longer than everybody had expected. However, I still did it. So just for all people to be encouraged. But I want to know, you joined this bandwagon, Miss Cheryl Sutherland, in all of her juiciness. And you've been on a plan. And I mean, I always just think she looks good. Like, from the time that I met her to now, like I don't know. So it's harder for me to see because it's not 70 pounds, I guess. You know what I mean? But she's glowing clearly and she's radiating, like, I feel good. Talk a little bit about your journey. Like, how did you get there? What was your motivation? How are you doing it?
So for myself, it's been a very interesting journey in regards to the fact that I actually threw away my scale for the first time, probably around like 7 years ago. And I was like, this isn't supporting me, because when I was younger, I had a lot of disordered eating in regards to, like, I don't want people to see me eating. Like, I can't let people, like, I don't want that judgment. I was very sensitive in regards to what other people thought about me. And I made up a lot of stories. So, like, even in regards to, like, you know, like, I used to hide to eat a lot of times. And then there was a lot of pressure even from my family. If I didn't eat all, like, my full plate, then I was X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, just a lot of really weird thought processes around food. Like, you're eating too much, Cheryl, why are you in the fridge? But then also at the same time, like, I'm a growing teenager, but then also at the same time, I'm not like the ideal weight that everybody else is. And I know for myself, like, my body type is very much like pear-shaped. And so it only came into fashion, I want to say, in this last decade. But before that, I was just like some other obese girl, right? So even in like junior high school, I had like the extra large short wouldn't fit me when I was like trying to, you know, do gym, all these different things. So I say all that to say that only in the last, I want to say in the last 2 years, 3 years, 3 years, I've really gotten to a really nice flow with my body, not only practicing more care for it, but then also giving myself grace. So there was a couple things that people would deem as being traumatic that had happened to me for the in the last stretch of time. Of course, moving to a whole different country, like being uprooted and coming back to Canada and having to reestablish everything. So not only was my eating different and disrupted, but then also like my exercise routines. And then of course, just like that level of stress and feeling like I have to figure this out. Like, where is my home base? How do I get all this together? Then in addition, over the last couple of years, I've been in two car accidents that have impeded my access to going to the gym. So even being able to, you know, just eat and then work out or whatever, not like I ate a lot. I never ate a lot. I was never like a huge, like, let me just go and eat all the things. Like, let me order 4 pizzas, blah, 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 right? Never like that. However, of course, the weight did creep up. And then, so I was at my highest when I was in the Caribbean, it was 2018, that Christmas. And I was about 240 pounds. Now, the thing is for me is that I'm tall, I'm 5'9" and a half. And so whenever I gain weight, I gain it very proportionally. So I never really notice, but other people, like when I'll gain weight, they're like, wow, Cheryl, did you lose weight? You look good. I'm like, no, I actually just gained 15 pounds, but thanks. Right. So it's like very like weird in regards to that. However, that's when I really noticed I didn't feel comfortable in my body. Like even in, like I was never one to take pictures of me in swimsuits or anything like that, even though I looked gorgeous. But I was never like I asked my mom to take a picture of me and I didn't like the way that I looked, like the roundness of my face and like all this other stuff. Like I just felt unhealthy. And then even like now where I live, like I have to be in the basement quite often because this is where my office is. And then I would notice like going up and down the stairs, I get a little winded. I'd feel it a little bit in my knees, all of these different things. So I was like, you know what, like, this is an amazing time to just play, not only with different meal programs to see what works for me, but also to see what works ideally for my body. What does she want? What does she not want? And really get to connect and relearn my body in that way. And then, so there's always been this specific program that I've loved because it has the right amount of structure and then great results really quickly. And so far I started that in January, I want to say like January 5th. And then as of today, I'm down 23 pounds. And it's February 18th for everybody's questions. So in about like a little under 40 days, which has been great. I'm going to be doing this meal plan for the 60 days and then transitioning into something that's a little less restrictive, but still something that feels good to me. And I know we had actually talked offline about different ways to connect with your body, have conversations with your body. And one of my favorite ways that I often forget is through muscle testing. So the other day I was actually in the shower, and basically what it is that like you just like center down or whatever, and you just ask your body questions. This often works really well if you've like lost something in your house and you're like, point me in the direction that it is, or like, should I break up with this person? And your body's like, yes, and you lean forward. But usually like you'll stand there and you'll say like, show me my yes, and then you'll move forward or backward, and then you'll say, show me my no, and then you usually move in the opposite direction, and then you could ask a series of yes, no questions. And so for me, I've never asked my body, well, what is your ideal weight? What is the best way that you like to release weight? Is there anything that I should know in regards to like exercise? Like what kind of exercise do you like? And I never really thought about any of those things. I just thought about all the ways that other people have told me that I have to lose weight or I should lose weight or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So during this conversation that I had with her, we got to get to my ideal weight being in the 170s, and I'm totally okay with that. I love my body at the 170s, which is great. And also like what kind of meal plan we should do, what kind of exercise we should do, how much water I should be drinking, and all those secrets were always just waiting for me, but my body, like I just didn't know how to ask. So that I feel like is super important. And then it does play into, you know, not needing to figure everything out by myself, just asking these questions and letting my body respond in a way that, that feels good and that I can actually move forward with and work in alignment versus consistently working against my body. Now, I will say before we go into anything else that during this Corona season, this has also been the biggest opportunity for me to get to know myself. And so I've been walking around in a lot of shorts. I never allowed myself to wear shorts or like outside or like around other people like ever. And it's interesting to just like look at myself. I bought a full body mirror, seeing all of my cellulite, all of the things that I used to think were horrific. And then now being able to just look at myself and be like, oh my gosh, I love this. Oh my gosh, look how delicious I am at 240 pounds. And then now that I'm a lot lighter, it's just amplified in me just noticing and feeling appreciation and gratitude for this amazing vessel that I have chosen to come into.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Lots came up, lots and lots came up. So I'm just going to like highlight a few things to keep things moving. It's one, you ask your body, like I think you mentioned this to me one of the few times that we spoke before, and I thought that was brilliant. I'm a little bit more traditional, conservative, tactile in my approach, I think. And I've never done that before. I also struggled with like, what is my weight? So unlike Cheryl, who's much taller than I am, I'm 5'3". At 250, my body was going to fail at some point if I didn't get into better shape. And unlike her, all of mine was in my visceral section, which is probably the most unhealthy, right? So my reasoning was I wanted to live a longer life as a single mom. I'm my daughter's only person. So I want to meet my great, great, great grandkids. So if I want to do that, then I kind of need to be around, and putting the pressure on my organs was probably my biggest concern. I personally have always been okay with the way that I looked, like, you know, how I felt in my clothes and the types of clothes, like I would always figure out a way, like I would wear this at 250 and I was like, okay with it. I mean, but it's the style of the clothing and how it would work. It just had to feel good. The health component was probably the biggest. So to me, that was not necessarily asking my body, but really getting into this like research state with my body of like, what feels good. So meditating felt really good. And then I could hear what my next best step was. So maybe the same thing that you were doing, but a different approach. So I guess my point is you got to find what works for you, right? This whole navigating mindfulness is like figure out what works best for you. So for me, that's meditation. And then after I cut a little bit of weight, I realized I still had a lot of muscle tension, right? Yeah. Like from either hanging on to something or what she was describing in trauma, like having to move back to Canada and reestablish herself. Like I've separated from my ex twice. I'm a single mom 24/7, albeit I have like the best, and Cheryl knows this, like absolute circle of love support system in my personal life and even in my professional life, right? Like I can't do all these things without adequate support, but my physical body had not released a lot of that. And so a part of my day is dedicated to muscle tension release of just like whatever my body is going through, hearing it and dealing with it. And then comes the hydration, the water. So I hold these up all the time. I have 12 of these on the go at any moment. And I drink, there's 5 of them on my desk right now. And it's because normally I would drink 4, but it's like, again, she had the hat on, it's Arctic. I'm dealing with like the heat and I'm not really getting outside a lot. So I'm giving myself more hydration. Sleep was another big one. Like I used to work all the time and then I would decompress at night, but then I would only get, I mean, there were some nights I wouldn't sleep. And then, you know, like I know my sweet spot now is anywhere between 6 to 8 hours, right? And every once in a while, I'll just wig out and have like an afternoon nap, right? Because my body needs to rest. And I think there are fundamentals that I talk about in Releasing 100 that are really, I think every human being needs it because that's how we're built, right? So sleep, water, nutrition is something that we've never really talked about. I am unlike her. I can eat quantities of food. And like, it's like my brain does not have like a you're full mark. Like if I really like something, I'll just keep going. So I actually in the beginning was weighing and measuring my food and I would only have 3 meals a day. So it has changed. Like I have played around with intermittent fasting, having 1 meal a day, primarily because of time, like just to sit down and eat 20 ounces of vegetables, that takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And to break it out and then to do the cleanup, it was just easier to sit down and eat one time. So again, practicing what's happening, like, especially when you're building a business, it's like, it's going to take some of your time. So how do you fit it all in? So I love the concepts of relaxation, you know, hearing what your body is saying to you and then doing what it's saying for you is going to work. Right. So yeah. What I did want to, can I pivot or did you want to say something?
No, because
you have a question. Yeah. So you mentioned chocolate cake. Okay. Mm-hmm. So whether it's our physicality for vitality or like just a habit or behavior or belief that we have, even our business, what do you do when you are up against something that you know is not going to serve your highest goal? And we're talking about physicality. So i.e. chocolate cake. And then maybe like in business, you want to work with a particular vendor because you have a long, whatever, like there's just something that you would normally do, but you kind of know that you shouldn't do it anymore. Like, how do you manage that concept? You're smiling for a reason.
Yeah, because actually there's a project that I'm working on right now that I'm like, I don't think that I should be a part of this, but thug life. Anyway.
We actually had an episode where you actually talked about this has happened to you before where you... Yeah. So I guess let's talk about that. Like again, chocolate cake and, you know, relationships that you might not want to engage in business.
Yeah. So in regards to chocolate cake, and it's so funny because my birthday is coming up, apparently it's next week. And I was like, oh no, it's like 15 days away. And I was like, totally okay with just not getting food stuffs for my birthday. And now I'm all like, oh, it's so close. So speaking of chocolate cake, so I usually just don't put myself in positions that I feel like I would create this internal pressure for myself. Now, it's funny because even looking at human design, there is a tendency for me to create pressure because I have an open root and an open head. So I feel like, again, that's another place where it comes into play where it's like, oh, now I understand why this is there, because legit, I tend to have this sort of scarcity around delicious food. Like if I don't eat it, nobody's going to eat it. It's going to go to waste. And then also like when is the next time I'm going to eat that, blah, blah, blah. So I would just like, it's easier for me to just not be around it. I don't purchase it, anything like that. And then also like, if my roommate buys something and they're like, yeah, like this is my cake, I'm like, cool, I won't touch it unless they're like, oh, have some. And I was like, fuck, like then I'm screwed. I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. Oh. So really having that conversation with why, like, why do I feel the need to overeat certain things? And then also I would also pose that same question for anybody that's also attempting to figure out why they're under eating certain things, or why they don't allow themselves, or that there's shame or blame or guilt around anything. Because kind of like money, it's neutral. Food is neutral. Like it doesn't care about how you feel about it. It's just there. And so it's our feelings that make it either hold on to ourselves if we're struggling with gaining too much weight, or like that doesn't allow us to like really receive the nutrition. So getting into those things. Now, in regards to like, well, what do I do? You know what? Honestly, since I've been practicing this new mentality, I haven't been in a space where I've said no. However, one thing that I will say is I've been practicing a lot with intuitive eating. And so let's say, for example, me and my sister, we love the Bulk Barn. And with the Bulk Barn, you know, like I also love sour candy. So we'll get like a little bit of here and a little bit of there and blah, blah, blah. And oftentimes now I'm just all like, is this something that I want? Like, does this feel good to me? Like, is this exciting? Or am I just eating this because I need to eat this because this is exciting and like because I want it right now? So having those different conversations. But I think it really came down to scarcity, like I have to eat this now, or I need to eat this, otherwise I might not get this experience again. And so when I'm having conversations with myself, like really talking about how there's more of this, and that life is delicious, and that like I don't have to be the person to do all the things, I don't have to eat all the stuff all the time, and just like practicing relaxing, I guess, into what food means to me, and therefore allowing me to have the results that I really want. What do you think, Lisa?
A few things also came up for me when you were talking about like how we were raised to finish our food, mm-hmm. right? Like that's a big one. And as my parents were immigrants to Canada, and so like wasting a grain of rice was like offensive to my family in the Philippines that may not have had food to eat. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really, really, really big one. Like to say that I'm not a compost bin and I'm not a garbage can. Mm-hmm. Right. And the freezer has become my friend, right? Like when you're portioning out food and you're getting this much in a serving, but you're really only eating this much, like, what do you do with that if you're not going to eat it right away? So lock and lock containers and the freezer have really become my friend in that regard, so that I'm honoring my family that like, I don't think they're struggling as much as they were back then, but still like being cognizant of being wasteful. And just like, I'm not a compost bin and I'm not a garbage can. Like, I love that my daughter is so particular about the berries that she eats. Like if it's not delicious or like, she's going to freeze it and put it in a shake. You know what I mean? But if it's fresh, if it's not perfect, odds are she's not going to eat it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's such a different thing. And that's her natural way of being. Like I've not ever said to her, or maybe I have, but I mean, that's just how she, her beingness knows like to eat the best of the best for her. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's what I would want. Right. So
yeah,
that's the first thing. The second one is, the way that you are looking at your own body while you're consuming it, is it good for you? So this is a really tough one because I have like this mind body battle. Sometimes it happens. Like I know that I'm not supposed to have flour. Like as I don't know where in my genealogy, I tested positive for celiac, right? Like, so when I have flour, it's like not a good thing for my body. Immediately I know. But I love pasta. Like, you know, we've gone to, we've done parties and eat outs and it's like, I like the lasagna and I like just certain things that I like to eat. And so what can I do to not continue to do that? And so it's not happening as much because I do ask that question of the intuitive eating, what is going to happen to my body? But my mind is still like, you know, you love this, but why do I love it? Right. And yeah. So it's so funny because again, you could be so successful in so many other areas in your life. And then in this one space that actually is fueling mm-hmm. your vitality and your ability to show up at the table, your ability to transact, your ability to donate, your ability to contribute. If you're not taking care of it, none of that stuff happens.
Yeah.
And so that conversation is happening more. And so the unserving behaviors are not as frequent and they're not as intense. And the battles are no longer as arduous.
Yeah.
Are you finding the same thing as you progress?
Definitely. And I feel like, and I'm just going to speak from my experience of the fact that money and food were one of the things that had the most energy when we were growing up, right? Like, and I feel like there's been so much to unpack and so much to unlearn about money. And we have the opportunity to take that same stance when it comes to food. Like, I remember, like, my mom used to always be very cognizant of like what food we had in the house, like what everybody was eating, that we were spending too much time in the fridge sometimes. And that like, but so it was kind of like mixed messages, like don't eat so much. But then also at the same time, we would go like for special occasions to places like Foodie Goody, which was like a buffet that we used to go to in Calgary. And then it would be all like, don't drink your water. You need to have room for food. And it was just like, but wait, you just told me the opposite. Like where it's like, we have to shove as much food as we can in for this price. And then just be like sitting around like roly poly oly for the rest of the day. And then it's like, well, but then, you know, like there was just like a lot of mixed messages when it came to food and scarcity and stuff like around that. And so I feel like for myself, really learning how to reparent myself in regards to food. Like even like sometimes I'll be cooking or I think I'll be eating something and I'll make too much or there'll be too much in the serving. And I'm like, I can't eat this. And then my sister will be all like, you have to eat it. Like waste not, want not. And then I'll be like, no, I'm going to put it in the fridge. And I remember doing that. And I remember that this is like an old thought process that I used to have. And now I'm actively choosing to do this new one. Now, again, like there's definitely times where it's like, no, I have to finish this. And then it pops up for me again. However, for the most part, like I've been, and I'm really proud of myself to say that like I'm having those conversations with myself about what I feel around scarcity, because I think that's the whole reason that I know for myself that my body has held on to things, because it's like, this is the only thing I can control. I need to be safe. I have to hold on to this because I don't know when the next thing is coming. However, in actively stepping into abundance, into allowing, into understanding that things are always there for me, that like I won't have the same, I'm not having the same relationship with food. One other point is two of my favorite people, they're twins. And that's why it's both of them. But they're based in Calgary, Lee and Laura Lyons. So shout out to the Lyons twins. However, when I first started hanging out with them, they had a completely different mentality when it came to food and money than I ever did. So they like spent money and like, you know, they were the ones with like the Louboutins, the Dior shoes, the like whatever, whatever. We would go to eat and like they would pay for everything. They're very much into the Chinese community and therefore like that sort of mentality always kind of stuck with them. But then even like we would come home after the bar and then they'd spent like, I don't know, like $150 on like pizza or like Little Caesars and we'll have like all these different things. And then we'll eat and then they'll just throw the rest away. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And like, I was like, how are you? And I was like, can I just take some home? Because like, how did that, I don't, let's just put it in the fridge. Like, it's fine. However, that's just how they've always been. And not because, and I say that to say, just to have that mentality around food was something that was so mind-boggling for me. Like, how could you actually do that? Or just being like, yeah, I just bought these new shoes for like, you know, $1,500. I'm just like, what is this? So again, just having different conversations, different experiences, and putting you in different spaces with people that have different relationships with these things are just so, there's so much awareness that happens. So like, it's wild.
No, I love that. I remember growing up like that too. And like, you know, it's funny, my daughter, we have these little glass lock and lock containers and she will save like the littlest thing because it's like something she really loves and she wants to have it later. Mm-hmm. Right. So she understands that delayed gratification. Whereas I think, I don't know if it's like in my DNA or something I learned from them. It's like, you got to have it right now. Cause like you kept saying this, like, you don't know when you're going to have it again. And that's one of the things that I definitely had to let go of, right? Is coming from this scarcity or fear or lack. And it's funny because we're correlating physicality, vitality into how we're building our businesses. And just as a seed planting thing, we are part of a mastermind group, and we're going to definitely have them on. It's something that we talk about, like how your mindset around money, and so we're going to say equals food, it really impacts your results. And if you're not consciously going, no, that's not the right way to think, or that's not the thing that's going to help me think better, or whatever it is that you're, however you want to phrase it, that's going to work for you. The way that you are thinking and what you are thinking about, if you can catch it, you're like 90% of the way there. If you can just catch that thought and flip it to say, that's not actually true. That's not actually true. And this is the truth. Like, it is going to be there, right? Like, I was guilty of pandemic buying. Okay. I still have, I think, 5 extra cans of tomato sauce and probably 10 cans of like chicken rice soup and
any
like
toilet paper.
No, I was never a toilet paper. I always have like one big pack of toilet paper. I've got 2 girls, like, for sure. No, yeah. But I never did toilet paper. But so that thinking as it relates to like yourself and your business and how you show up, it's a vibe, right? Like, you want to have that abundance thinking, you want to call in great opportunity, you want to have the best relationships. Like, it's got to start from the inside out. And what I'm learning in this physical journey is like, wow, I'm even able to create better results. So regardless of, you know, how the world is looking right now in certain places, especially the economy and like the health and well-being of others, I have been extremely grateful for this time to reconnect with my daughter, to reconnect with myself. Like, when you say you have learned so much about yourself, I am echoing that to the nth degree. And my relationships are far deeper with the people that are the, like, yourself. Like, I've spent more time with you than I have in the years that I've known you by doing this weekly thing. And my hope, as with yours, is that we are imparting onto the people that are listening things that are going to help them get to the next level in their business. Because it's not easy. It is taxing. Like, you know, you went through something earlier today with your supplier, or your transport people. Like,
I love you,
gotta... She's fully putting them out there. I love it.
No, but I also have like a sponsorship deal with them too. So it's like, but then also like, I know like it's a big conglomerate. So, you know, you got to leave room for grace, man.
Yeah, you do. And for yourself. So I love that you said that, because here's the thing. When you fall off the wagon or you have the chocolate cake, feeling guilty about it is not going to help you like regenerate or process the chocolate cake any better, right? So can we talk about that? Like,
okay, so like, yeah, right, go off of what you just said.
Go.
Listen. Okay, so okay, so when you were talking about chocolate cake in regards to this, I was actually thinking, again, it comes down to money, right? So like, even with a lot of the opportunities, and we talked about this in the mastermind, like if you're playing small, if you're in the shallow end, you're not able to get the greatness that you really want. You're not able to move out there and like really attract the things, the people, places, and things that you want. And then also, like, you're not, how do I say this? You're not creating the space for the universe to come in and help you and support you. So when it comes to food, the first thing is guilt, right? Like, we need to talk about the guilt that people have in regards to eating or not eating something, because guilt, like I keep saying, it's such a useless emotion because it does nothing for you. It doesn't help you move forward. It's an indicator. But if you stick in guilt, it's not going to help you do anything, right? You're not going to gain anything. You're not going to be a better business person or make more money because you're feeling guilty about something. So I actually don't feel guilty. And I made it a very clear practice probably about 3 years ago. I never feel guilty about anything that I eat, because anything that I eat, I want it for a particular reason. And the joy that comes from it, whether it's good for me or bad for me. The joy that comes from it is what I'm looking for and what I'm allowing myself to experience, because I deserve to have joy, right? So getting rid of guilt. And then also when it comes to your business, if you don't do this particular deal with this particular person, if you need to walk away from this because it doesn't feel in alignment, why do you feel guilty for it? You're not responsible for them and they're not responsible for you. So like taking that same level, like first step, releasing that guilt and that shame. Some people have shame. Shame is even below that. Releasing any shame, then releasing any guilt, and then opening up yourself. Like I always keep talking about this Abraham Hicks lovely chart that I have behind me. And it's basically the emotional scale. Like, where are you at? How are you feeling? Is this in a high vibration that's going to allow you to have the things that you want? So when like on the lower end, we've got blame, we've got worry, we've got doubt, all of that on the lower end, which I like to say is kind of in the same alignment of that. Oh, actually, no. Insecurity, guilt, and unworthiness is actually at level 21 and the lowest is 22. So like we're not messing with guilt anymore in 2021. Okay. Wait, what year is it? Yeah. 2021. So how do you come from a space of joy, enthusiasm, excitedness, happiness when it comes to food? It's that same way when it comes to business relationships. If you're feeling joy, elated, excited to work with someone, then you know, hey, this is the next best thing. I'm on track. If you're not feeling that, that's okay. It's just an indicator that you need to switch things up. And this isn't for you. It might be for somebody else, but like, let the good things happen for you. And then again, in making space for good things to happen for you, guess what? They happen for you, whether it's the people, places, and things that fall into place for you, or it could be the right eating physical movement that you need in order to support your body in feeling amazing, whether it's supplementation. Like I just started taking B12 and I'm like, why wasn't I doing that before? You know, whether it's, you know, getting some probiotics, whether it's working more with weights than with cardio. Like I asked my body, she does not like cardio. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I don't need to feel guilty about that, but she's about the weight. And I'm also about the weight. So we're good in that regards to that, but like really working in alignment and co-creating, it's just so, so delicious. And it applies again, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you're feeling guilt and shame around something that's kind of sticky, like your food, your physicality, all that sort of stuff, best believe that that is also applying and showing up in other areas of your life too.
I also dropped shame and guilt, or not even dropped it. It's kind of like, I just became acutely aware of when it was actually labeled. Like me, I talk about this all the time, right? Awareness, labeling, experiencing, and then releasing. So whenever any of these lower vibration feelings come up, my first question is always, what do I want? Like the minute I feel it, I'm like, what do I want? So if I want to eat the thing, I'm going to eat it. Cause clearly, like you said, my body wants it. I'm not going to feel bad about it. Am I going to be conscious about how much of it and how frequently and all that kind of other stuff? And then it's like, what do I want? It could be, you know, if I'm in something with my kid and it's going sideways, I'm just like, what do I want here? I want to have a great relationship with her. And then I just say it, I want to have a great relationship with you. And that one line will immediately pivot with her. Same thing in all of my business interactions. It's like, what do I want? If it's something that I really, really, really want, I'm going to say it. If I don't really care, you also know, I'm just going to be like, you decide, I don't really care. But if I really want something, I'm going to make it known. And then it's either going to happen or not going to happen. And then I have to deal. I really think there is something to be said about the maturity of a person as they evolve through this process of like becoming aware of when guilt or shame pops up. And it also does translate to, like you said, all other areas of your life, right? So, you know, and I'm just going to digress a little bit and say, I know that people are in my family anyway, not to like say this in a bad way. It's just like, they would sometimes ask, like, don't you ever feel bad about stuff? Like, no, I don't want to feel bad. Like, and it's okay to not want to feel bad. I actually want to stand on the side for good to be able to do good. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, my goal is like, I want to be a traveling philanthropist, which means I kind of have to have the capacity to give if I want to be a philanthropist, right? And mm-hmm. that's not going to happen if I don't take the steps to be there. Right? Like, so how do you support those higher level goals? I want to live a long time. I want to meet my great, great, great grandchildren. Like, so I need to do whatever is available. And again, food equals money. Let's face it. There is a belief out there that like good food costs money. Otherwise, you're going to be eating the stuff that's like, in my case, I can't have bread. You know what I mean? So that 99-cent loaf isn't for me. You know, they, like my thing is supposed to be green leafy vegetables, which are not necessarily 99 cents. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? So yeah, there is that point where you just say, I'm going to be responsible for me to live my life, to do what it is that I said I was going to do. And what does that mean? And sometimes it's like, you just got to get out of your own guilt and shame, or look at it at least so that you can move from it. So that's really my thing, is like, now I'm asking myself the questions and I'm just going to do what I think is right in that moment.
Yeah, I love that.
And that might change tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I wanted to ask you one quick question. And I feel like I know the answer to this, but it's still popping up for me. And I feel like there's somebody listening that might need to hear this. So there's a lot of meal programs, et cetera, that really have a lot of restrictions. And mm-hmm. I know for myself, I don't deal with restrictions very well.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I'm not alone. I'm not that person. I'm just all like, no, and I rebel. Like, you can't cage me in. but in regards to restricted eating, if somebody is practicing a restrictive eating plan that is not in alignment with who they are, any words for people that are on that journey, or like if they think that this is the only thing I can do, all I can do is make sure I weigh all my food, I count all my calories, I exercise this much, and even though it doesn't feel good, I have to get it done. Like, this is the only way I could do that. So any words?
Lots, actually. Thanks for asking that, because the bulk of the weight that I lost was extremely restrictive. 3 meals, no flour, no sugar, weighed and measured food. Okay. So it was really hard to gain momentum with that. I again, highly supported, like lots of really great people in my corner cheering me on, the whole kit and caboodle. Okay. So I think the truth is you gotta choose what's best for you. And if it's not working, and you gotta keep working at it. I had, I want to say 160 days of flip-flopping. Like, I would try it and then I would have some sugar. I would try it. I'd get an invite for like Mama Martino's and I would have pasta and then start again, right? So I had a lot of these. I'd have a few days in a row, even 2-3 weeks in a row, and then I would have to start again on day one. 160 of those days kind of passed before I had 100 days straight of no flour, no sugar, weighed and measured food. And I think even that in itself is not necessarily healthy, because it's not meeting all of your nutrient requirements, right? So the only thing I will say is choose what's going to work for you and make sure that you're adequately supported. Like, trying to do something on your own is so hard because you're battling yourself as opposed to having a lifeline to say like, hey, I'm about to do this. And I know that this is not what I declared for myself. And even that action is reprogramming what the norm is. Because the truth is, your norm and your story and what you're battling could have started in the womb when you were like six months in the belly because of your mother or what you were hearing in that space, all up until you're like aware of, like, you actually now have a new choice. You have a choice to create a new norm. And so if you are on something super, super restrictive, I think the other thing I should say is make sure that you are checking in with your doctor. Because I know that we've lost people who are too super restrictive and they weren't under medical care. And that can also happen. So let me start with, like, make sure you're checking in with somebody before you start something. And then the other one is, like, you got to really stay focused on what you want. Like, the reason I made it to 100 days in a row was because I knew I really wanted to break something. I didn't know exactly what it was. And now I can say to you, it was like, it just strengthened me to really be able to say, is this for me or not for me? And to this instant gratification, it's now been delayed. I know I can wait 100 days. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to have it right now, or I'm never going to have that again, is not a true story. You know what I mean? You can order frozen In-N-Out from LA and have it shipped to, you know, overnight FedEx and in a freezer box. You know what I mean? So anything is possible. Okay. It's not going to go away. And so it's like, what is the actual truth of what you're telling yourself that's causing you to break the bond to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's like really what it is though, right? Like if you want a goal, like what are you not doing and what are you telling yourself to not have that goal? And sometimes you don't even realize you're telling yourself that. Does that kind of answer?
Yeah, I had a lot of conversations and honestly, everything that you said was so great. And especially talking to a medical, somebody that's in the medical field to make sure that you're taken care of, that you're on the right track. Because it can be a slippery slope, especially if you've, you know, done some yo-yo dieting or struggled with your weight in the past. Like I am very cognizant that this particular program that I'm doing, it can be very addictive because you do lose a lot of weight very quickly. And like, sometimes you're like, I don't really feel like eating, but you know, you have to eat because you're eating such low calories. So similar to you, I'm weighing and measuring everything. I'm counting my calories, which normally I'm like, fuck calories. Calories don't actually mean anything. And I still believe like calories don't really mean anything.
I never counted calories. I counted the weight of my food.
Oh, okay. Okay. That was it. I'm counting calories and also the weight of everything and tracking it. And I feel like for me, focusing on like, what's the benefit of this? This is really allowed me to see, okay, well, how much, like really eyeball, like, oh, this is how much calories is in a tomato or like this and that or blah, blah, blah. But then I think most importantly is really change the way that I'm communicating with food. Like right now it's like I don't really care to eat anything, like and like that addictive personality I had for like sugar or like alcohol, like I don't really care about drinking alcohol. Like we did a Zoom birthday for my friend and everyone's like, get your drinks, and I was like, ooh, fizzy water. Oh, did I tell anybody? No. Did I feel any pressure? No. But normally I would, even if it was via Zoom. So it's kind of like changed the way that I see things. And then I also feel like you have to have a very clear why. And I love your why. It's really about Celeste and your grandbabies and all that. For me, it's just like, I just really want to feel 100% confident when I walk into a room and when I have conversations, because similarly to you, like I'm really ready to get into like a delicious relationship. And one thing that I notice is that even if I'm doing like a Zoom call with someone or like we're doing FaceTime and stuff like that, I'm still feeling self-conscious about my body, which I shouldn't, because I look delicious at any weight, right? So I felt like, and as I was losing this weight, I was like, oh, look at me. I'm coming back to me. I'm coming back to myself, and like really allowing like all this stress and negativity to just like be released and that it be okay. And that I don't need anymore. Like I'm in a good place. I'm living somewhere I feel is stable and safe, that, you know, my business in this space that feels stable and safe. Like my life is in a really, really, really great place right now. And then me releasing this weight right now is also very supportive to acknowledge the fact that I'm in fact safe. And before, when I was gaining the weight, I was like, it doesn't really matter because I know I can lose it. Like I'm not really that worried. But now it's like, I'm in a very safe place. I'm taken care of. And not only just in the current circumstances, like the universe is taking care of me. Like things just keep coming into my lap where like things are okay. And so it's the perfect time for me.
Yeah. I love it. I really do love it. I think for me, there's also a little bit of a sense of urgency. Like I'm a lot closer to 50 than you are. And, the older
smidge. No.
It's a lot more, it requires more to release weight at an older age. I mean, I have been told that the entire time and I didn't really understand it, but my body's not behaving like it did at 20 or 30, that's for sure. So there is that sense of urgency for me and just really listening to what it is that you want and knowing, like, I love your affirmations. Like you speak it, you are the affirmation queen. So, yeah, I believe all those things. Like my life is really, I'm very grateful for it. I think I'm very blessed that I get to make the choices and still be supported and still operate with, you know, integrity and know that it can change. Like new information can come out tomorrow and this is rendered like, hey, no, this is actually the most important thing. And that's really important, right? Like to be flexible, like to go up and down that chart and recognize where you are with your emotions and like what is true and what is your next best step, right? And so sometimes it's like your mindset really has to be the thing to shift right away, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm good to wrap. I feel really, I think we left people with a lot of things that are real in terms of physical, like you know, health, stress, energy, that kind of stuff. And how it does relate to business. Because at the end of the day, if you're building a business, this is really about you. And if you're not around, what happens to the business? And if you have a business that employs other people, like, that is the deepest honor in terms of like how you can support people and their families. And if you're not taking care of yourself, then what are you doing? So that's it for me, co-host, delicious co-host. Enjoying your new self. And I love how you put it right out there that like you're ready. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Open for love.
I'm ready for it. But I love everything that you said. And I oftentimes, especially in my courses, especially in the Clear and Confident course, that one's a really great one. But I talk about the successful version of you. Like, what does your day look like? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? What activities are you a part of? Yeah. And if your business right now is not setting you up to live that life, then you know you need to change something, because like there's people that love you and you deserve to enjoy the fruits of your labor. In addition, same thing with your employees, like making sure that people have balanced work lives as much as one can balance it, you know, making sure that like, I'm very clear that as I bring on employees, that they're all going to have like good health benefits, that they're going to be taking care of themselves, you know, like go for a massage. Like, you're not feeling really great today. Okay, we'll just take a day off, like use a mental health day, like being able to have those things. And so that your business is working for you. And this is my last point, is I always say that building a business is the biggest personal development course ever. And your business will ask you to evolve with you. And it is your clear responsibility to continue to evolve with it. And I say all that to say that you have to, and you owe it to yourself to make sure that you're taking care of your physical self, because otherwise you're taking away from others. You're taking away from your business. You're taking away from, you know, like the people that really love you. And then the more that you do pour into yourself at the same time, you have so, so, so much more to give in regards to your products and services, in regards to your employees, in regards to continuing to do things that make so much difference in the world. So with that, that's all I got. This has been honestly a delicious episode. It's so deep and so connective. And I really hope that everybody that's listening also had this opportunity to go through this journey with us. And I also want to just state as well that, like, of course, we're two women and two cisgender women speaking about this from our point of view. However, like, this is also applied to people that are, you know, transitioning through things, to men. There's a lot of stuff in regards to them and, you know, the body that people have been said that men have to have, like a lot of body shaming and stuff like that. And so no matter what you identify as or who you feel you are, like all of these things do apply to you, and that you deserve to have good things, that you deserve to feel good. You deserve to feel like, yeah, I can run and do this. Like, you're not facing a physical obstacle and think like, can I really do that? Yes, you can. And you deserve to have that in your life. Same thing with your business. Can I do that? Can I close that deal? Can I receive that money? Yes, you can. So with that, my name is Cheryl Sutherland, and it was my absolute pleasure to be here with you today to co-create with you. And please let us know, slide in our DMs on Instagram or on our social media, reply back. I don't know, do some sort of post to let us know if this resonated with you. And please share this podcast with friends, with people that you care about, that you think might be able to take some insights from the things that we've shared. Eliza, any last words before we sign off?
Not at all. I think you wrapped up really, really well. And just to everyone out there, just really like be your best self.
Yeah, you deserve good things. And with that, we will see you next week on Navigating Mindfulness. Yes, talking about personal growth while building businesses.